Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Wow. Woo! Hey, 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 church. Hey, hey, hey. Hey, Gil, how are you? Oh, my gosh. Thank you, thank you. It is good to be home. Yeah. So good to be home. My goodness. This one's going to take a chance on me. Sorry. A little 80s there. God is good. Amen.
Amen.
Well, where do I start? I don't know. You know what today is? What? It's first day of spring. Did you know that? First day of spring. And what does spring do? Now, I've been in a land called Charlotte. Okay? It's very different than San Diego. I've been in a land called Charlotte, and at this place, at wintertime, unlike San Diego, it has seasons. Sorry about that. We'll get that together. It has seasons. And in those seasons, at winter, everything dies, unlike San Diego. It's new for me, right? It's cold. It's been cold. I mean cold. And my big old fat kitty cat is not warm enough for those winters that I have, all right? But it's been so cold and so bleak. Those trees are just completely empty. They have lots of trees. Charlotte is known as two things. A city of churches, has over 900 churches. The majority of them are super conservative. And it has, it's known as a city of trees. Every time they build something, a tree person comes out and tells the developer what tree they can take down and cannot take out. That they're very serious about their trees. But what's happening is new life. New life is, I haven't experienced a spring like this. In San Diego, it just gets green for like 2 weeks, right? In Charlotte, it is just blooming. I mean, popping colors everywhere, and trees are just coming alive. And there is a tree that means a lot to me and also to you. It is a tree that I met when I first decided that we were going to plant a church. The board of elders and myself, we decided we were going to plant a church. And Charlotte, we wrestled, almost physically at times. Should we do this? Is this the right thing to do, to plant a church? To plant a church in Charlotte. And I'm here to tell you, it is one of the best things we've ever done. Amen. As a movement of faith. And that's what we are. We are a movement of faith. We are impacting lives all across this nation now. You have to trust me when I say this. And so this tree out in front of this old Methodist church was dying. And I have a connection with nature. I love nature. I feel guilty every time I eat fried chicken. Right? I run 2 miles to lose weight, and then I eat fried chicken. It's the southern thing to do. And so... But I have a connection, and this tree was dying out front of the church, and so they wanted to take her all out, and I said, no, we're going to give her a chance. Just like God gives us a second chance, and a third chance, and a fourth chance. Spring is a time of new beginnings. God is the God of new beginnings. God is the God of doing something new all the time. Hello? And so in that, I said, no, we're going to take half of her down. And therefore, let's just try to save her. She's a beautiful oak tree. She's been there for years. Her roots go underneath that church. And I said, we're going to try to save her. And I don't know if we have a photo. What photo do we have? The first photo. Do we have a photo? There it is. There she is today. Now, we did not think she's going to come back. But there she is. That's Ellie. That is Ellie. We took half of her out. And there she is today. That's spring, and that's happening. She was barren a week ago, and that is her coming back. Now let's move on. Let's go to the next. From her, that's her. That's her during the winter. I call her the keeper of the church. She guards the church. But we didn't know that, and the guy told me who took half of her out, he said, she won't come back after winter. I said, oh, you don't doubt Ellie. Don't you doubt Ellie, and don't you doubt the God of new beginnings. Don't you doubt spring. Do not doubt nature. She has a way. And so let's go to the next photo. From that, I took wood from her, and I called up this local artist, this hipster artist. A lot of hipsters in Charlotte. You think you have them here? Oh, my gosh. You can smell them a mile away. Okay? They're everywhere in Charlotte. So he's an artist, and I called him up, and I said, I have some wood from this tree, and I need you to make us a communion table. I need you to take death and make new life. I need the history of this tree that's been there before that church building was built in 1950. I need you to take these pieces of wood, and make something that this new community of faith that this church started, right? This church started. I need you to build something because we here at Mission Gathering, we believe, this is our table of grace here, and a local artist in North Park made this for us. We believe that all people are welcome at the table of grace. Amen. Right? Amen. There's been a really bad, unhealthy theology that's happened in the last 50 or 60 years about communion. About if you're not right with God, you know, they mess up, they misinterpret Paul's words all the time. You know what happens in the evangelical church? Some of you are new. You don't know me, so you might as well plan to stay here for a while. I don't know, you know, Eric and Erica, they preach in 20 minutes. I don't know if they even know Jesus to be able to preach that short. That's crazy. I'm kidding. But I don't preach 20 minutes. Right. Where was I? That's our table of grace. And every church we plant, we will have a table that says the opposite of this unhealthy theology that not all are welcome. Because the theology that we need to always glean to, go back to, is Jesus. We must look at the epistles, we must look at the letters of the early church always through the eyes of Christ. And the first communion time, the first supper, the last supper that we know as the last supper, which was the first communion that we gather and we remember the Eucharist, is what? It is when Christ was with whom? The most screwed up bunch of people, two of them was about to betray him. They were all going to run, and they were afraid. And the only ones that stuck around were who? Who? The women. Come on now. Ladies, I need you to put up in the house here. It's the ladies that stuck around. The men, you know, those pride, whoa, I'll chop your ear off, right? Remember that? Remember when Peter did that? And Jesus is like, no, that's not what we're here about. Let me fix that. You're okay. All right. Go ahead and arrest me. Don't mind him, right? So seriously, so there you are, and they all ran. The women basically hung in there with them, was there to the very end. And then, of course, little baby John, who was basically, anyway, I'll stop there. But anyway, so he was there too. But at that Last Supper that we call the Eucharist, everyone was represented for the next thousands and thousands of years. The betrayers, how many has ever betrayed? The liars, how many has ever lied? How many of us know we have sin in our lives? We have mistakes, we have regrets, and all of that was represented at that table, that gathering. And we gather around this table of grace to remember those last words of Jesus after that supper. This table, and now this table. Let's look at this is her now. This is Ellie. You know, they didn't know what, I mean, when we first started in Charlotte, they were like, what do you mean a table? You know, they don't know us. They don't know the disciples of Christ. They just, Right? They knew they were drawn to a gathering and people coming together. And I had people come up to me when we started, and they were like, can I take communion? Can I take communion, Pastor Rich? Can I take communion? I said, yes, you can take communion. All are welcome. We had a young man. Now he's a man. He's in transition when I first met him. And in the South, those who are in transition, transgender brothers and sisters, are physically attacked constantly in the South. They're beaten, left for dead. And in mission gathering, your plant, your church plant, has welcomed several of these people, these wonderful, beautiful people, welcomed into the arms and the loving of God, the love of God. And they come to the table trembling because they were told they could not be at the table. Right? And now let me see the next photo. This is her today. They took that for me today. And is that not us? Does that not scream this movement? Right? We've been studying the last words of Christ. And in Matthew 27, Jesus is on the cross. He's on the cross. So I got to give you some good theology today. I know you always get good theology, but I'm going to give you some Rich McCullen blue-collar theology, okay? You with me? Who was Jesus? Really? Come on now. I'm reaching here. I need you. What? Son of God.
Son of man.
He was God. Candy, you said it. Jesus was God in the flesh. Remember, we talked about this? When I'm at a drinking hole with somebody and they're like, I don't know about this God. I don't know about God. I'm like, always look to Jesus if you want to know the heart of God. Because when Jesus was on this earth 2,000 years ago, what did John say about him? The Logos, the Word of God became what? Flesh. God took on the form of a human in the body of Jesus. God was Jesus. So what you have here, you have humanity and divinity all wrapped up in one. Hello, church? You have humanity and divinity all wrapped up in one. And I'm telling you, it's a beautiful, beautiful story. You think about the humanity of Jesus at a party. The first miracle that we know in the Gospels, he was at a party, and what went missing? Wine. That's a big deal. Right? Especially for the Jewish people. They would have their weddings, and weddings would last 3 or 4 days, and the only way you can do that is with good wine. And they had wine, and the wine ran out, and just like a wonderful Jewish mother, Mary became very concerned. And she's like, I'm really happy right now because I have a connection. And she went to who? Come on, say it louder. She went to Jesus, and she said, Jesus, we're out of wine. Now, here's the humanity of Jesus. So? That's what he said. What's it? What am I going? What? So? Let's go to the next party, right? He was like, let's just move on. We got VIP down the street. We're okay. She's like, no, this is a very important wedding. And theologians, Nancy will tell you this, theologians have wrestled for years what was going on at this wedding. I will not drop that bomb today. Nope, I will not. So anyway, she said, we need something. We need something to happen here. And Jesus, in his humanity, tapped into the divinity of whom he was, God in the flesh. the humanity, being with the people, loving the people, celebrating with the people, honoring with his people, and the divinity of needing a very, very small miracle. Right? Here's another one. Jesus on the water. Walking on the water. He says, Peter, come on out. Peter's like, nope, can't do that. I can't do that. And he said, just have faith. Keep your eyes on me. Right? The divinity, God in the flesh, wanted to show his disciples anything was possible with God. And in the middle of life's storm, and they were literally in a storm, right? The Sea of Galilee, Nancy and I are going to take you there. We're going to Palestine, Israel. That's a good time to do this commercial. a spiritual pilgrimage in the footsteps of Jesus. It's 4 nights in Bethlehem. I'm really doing this commercial right now. 4 nights in Bethlehem, 2 nights in Nazareth, 3 nights in Jerusalem. It's May the 24th through the 4th. I want you to go with Nancy and I. We want to take a bunch of you because you're going to get to see how we, as this church and other churches, are making a difference in the lives of Palestinians. And I want to take you, I've been before the Sea of Galilee. It was one of the most amazing experiences in my life. And Jesus was on that lake and he was walking on the water. And that's divinity. That's the God walking on the water. You with me, church? And then he crawls out in the middle of that storm. Peter, come out. Believe. Come on out. Peter gets out there, and what happens with that human? A touch of divinity. A touch. A piece of hope. Here's the confliction. Every single one of you are made in the image of God. Did you know that? Do you live like that? Every single one of you are made in the image of God. Peter tapped into being made in the image of God. Walked out there, but here's the confliction. Stuff happens. I almost said a different word. Stuff happens. Waves get big. Clouds appear. Death happens. Divorce happens. Betrayal happens. Families split up, losing a job, life happens, humanity happens, and we lose sight of who's called us out to walk by faith in the first place. There's the confliction, humanity and divinity. And so what happened? Peter started to sink. You with me, church? Peter started to sink down, and the divinity reached out to the humanity and saved him. That's the gospel story. That's the gospel story. So we're looking at the words, my God, where's the scripture? Matthew. I think, there it is. I wish Lenny was here. Lenny, I know you're up there. Can you say it really loud? Do you know how to say it? It's Eli, Eli, lump. Do you want to say it? Eli, Eli, something else. My God, why have you forsaken me? Do it again. My God, the words of Jesus. The words of Jesus. This has split churches. This scripture here, it has made people leave the faith. It is the most troubling, one of the most troubling scriptures that we can think of in the New Testament. Because you have Jesus on the cross crying out, saying, my God, why have you forsaken me? Some really bad theology has come out of this text here. You got a little time today? Yeah, you do. You got plenty of time. I grew up hearing that And what I heard was, when Jesus was saying, my God, why have you forsaken me? That all the sins of the world came upon Jesus, and an angry God, an angry Father, had to discipline for our atonement, had to have a sacrifice for our atonement, for our redemption. And so therefore, God had to abandon Jesus, because God cannot be connected or around sin. Anyone ever heard theology like this? This is not new, is it? So here's another description of that theology. It's called the atonement theology, or the ransom theology. Here's another view of it. Let's say Bill here. Bill has a son by the name of Billy. Bill, is Billy here? Where is he at? There he is. Hey, Billy. I've known Billy for a long time. So let's say he's in the neighborhood, and Billy and his friends are in the neighborhood. And, you know, they're like kids. I mean, when I was a kid, you know, I used to do crazy stuff. Like doorbell ditch. I loved it. I would ring the doorbell, bang on the door, and run. Me and my friends, we loved it. It was like addiction, right? The adrenaline, especially to this elderly lady that was just evil. The lady was evil. She just never said anything nice. Every time you see her, she'd curse at you. And I'm like, well, I'm going to ring your doorbell and make you get up, you and your 50 cats, and I'm going to run, and you're never going to know, right? And we did this all the time until my mama found out. Right? So that stopped, because when mama found out, let me just say, I didn't sit down for a while, okay? And when mama spanked, you knew it was real. But let's say Billy was out with his friends, and they're causing all kind of ruckus in the neighborhood of Mission Hills. You guys still live in Mission Hills? In Mission Hills, causing all the ruckus, and all these kids are having crazy times, they're doing crazy stuff, and Billy's there, a part of it. But let's say there's one kid in the bunch. Let's call him Jose. Okay? Jose's just with his friends. He would always say, hey guys, you know, we probably shouldn't do that. In fact, I'll meet you guys afterwards. And Billy's like, no, man, let's go, let's do this. She's a mean old lady. Who cares? Right? No, let's, right? And then Bill finds out. Hey, all right, gathers all the kids together. Jose's never done anything wrong. Jose's dad shows up. This is theology here, not the healthiest theology. Jose's dad shows up, and he's like, what's going on here? And Bill explains, hey, you know, our sons are crazy kids. Crazy! Remember when we did this? And Jose's dad goes, yeah, I remember. And he beats the heck out of Jose for all the sins of the kids. Wouldn't that be weird? Hello? I mean, wouldn't you try to stop him? Like, hey, they're just kids. My kids, I'm not going to beat my kid. He doorbell ditched. He's just a kid. He does things. He's just human, right? You with me? Human, right? Humanity. Jose was kind of like a better of them. Beats Jose to blood is flowing, to say, I'm doing this to cover all of your wrongdoing. Do you see the unhealthy theology in this? Woo! It makes you not want to follow this God. This is tough theology. I wasn't going to go here today, but I got to give it, because some of you need to hear this. You see, it was not just Jesus on that cross. Where's my crown? All right, we'll go with that one. I love this church. It wasn't just Jesus on that cross, Mission Gathering believers and skeptics and non-believers this morning. It was God on that cross. It was God on that cross. Not an angry God who couldn't be connected with sin. Not an angry dad who needed the spotless lamb, right? But a loving God bringing humanity back into himself. This is why we cannot say to God, you never know what it means to suffer. Hello? One of the greatest theologians said it like this. I cannot follow a God who does not know suffering. This theology is not new, I'm giving you right now. This is called suffering, divine suffering theology. It's not new. It was God on that cross. So, Rich, you put us in a quandary here. What's new? This is what I do. So if that was God on that cross, who is God talking to? Right? If that was God who said to Lazarus, with tears streaming down his face, the humanity of God weeping about losing a best friend, yet knowing he was going to raise him from the dead, the divinity, when he said, Lazarus, come on out. Who was he talking to? Some of you think I'm going crazy. You ever talk to yourself? All the time. Stay with me now. Don't walk out yet. I don't preach here a lot. I got to make you just mad at me. You ever talk to yourself? Yes. Absolutely. What's happening is this. This is when I talk to myself, and I've been doing it a lot lately. Why, God? I got to line myself up. I am lonely here. I'm lonely in Charlotte. You're my family. I can talk to you, right? Amen. It's tough. But I know my humanity side, my human side, when it loses my mission and it's off track to my purpose, all I need to do is speak to the image of God within me. I've got to speak to the image of God within me. When I think of myself and I think of the words that my father used to say to me when I was just a young boy, you are nothing but a faggot. You will never amount to anything. You are the worst kid I've ever had. And he would beat me to the point that my nose was broken. And he would beat me over and over, and I would wake up to nightmares. Right? The human side of me, the dark side of me, would be in conflict with the divinity of God within me, the image of God saying, you are my child. I love you. You are not a mistake.
Amen. Amen.
Lord. You with me? It's in confliction. And so what Jesus was doing, the humanity side of God, and this gives us hope as followers of Jesus, as followers of God, this gives us hope. The humanity side of God was screaming out to his divinity, line up. Remember in the garden when he's kneeled down and he had sweat like blood and he was praying, let this pass over? He was realigning the humanity side of God to the divinity, and the divinity won.
Hallelujah.
Oh, I know. This is different. This is different, but this is real. So let me go a little deeper. If you were Jewish, and that's the thing that I want to share, I got to say this. We have to look at the text, at the scriptures through the eyes of Jewish people. Why is that, Rich? They wrote it. Okay? You have to look at the context. You always have to dig deeper. Always. So when Jesus, put up slide one. My God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus. This slide one is coming up there. I think it's there, maybe not. My God, why have you forsaken me? That's Jesus. Here's something you can tweet. If Jesus was God on the cross, humanity and divinity in one, then could it be that on the cross, humanity and divinity was wrestling with itself for the souls of the world? Am I freaking you out? Is this okay? Could humanity and divinity was wrestling with itself for the souls of the world? What was happening on that cross, the humanity was realigning itself to the divinity, and God was redeeming all of his creation, all of her creation, back unto the God self. So when Jesus said, my God, why have you forsaken me? All the Jewish people that were standing around looking up at that cross, and his mother, Mary, and John, and the disciples in a distance, a far distance. And Jesus screamed, God, why have you forsaken me? My God, why have you forsaken me? Grabbed every Jewish person there, and probably mostly the religious leaders standing there, rubbing their hands. It's over. It's over. We've killed it. We've killed this movement that was taking out the temple money. We've killed this movement that was saying, love the Romans. Ugh. We've killed this movement. It's over. And then he says, my God, why have you forsaken me? And everyone knew the rest of that. Let me give you the rest of this. This was a prayer that the Jewish people would say at their darkest moment, at their hardest times, in Psalms 22, 1 through 5. My God, why have you abandoned me? Why have you forsaken me? Where are you? So far away when I groan for help. Every day I call to you, my God. But you do not answer. Doesn't stop there. Every night I lift my voice, I find no relief. You see the humanity here? You see the humanity? In verse 3, wow, the confliction of humanity and divinity. Yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. Our ancestors trusted in you, and you did what? Rescued. Say it louder. Rescued. Rescued. They cried out to you, and they were what? They trusted in you and were never disgraced. Whoa. He is quoting a prayer. God is bringing his people back to the most important thing. On that cross, God is being the ultimate example. When you are at your darkest times, you feel like you're about to just literally die. Everything has gone against you. Go deep. Go deep into what God has done in your life. Go deep into what the Lord has spoken to you in the past. Go deep into how much you know, even though you doubt it many times, how loved you are. Go deep. I cannot fight alcoholism, Pastor Rich. Yes, you can. Go deep. I feel like God has abandoned me in my relationships. You will overcome. Go deep. You have to go deep and say, God, oh God, please, please rescue me. And when Jesus did that, he spoke to all the people, God is going to take care of this. He's going to rescue you all through what is happening right now. That's what happened. And what I'm here to say to you today, I've traveled 2,000 miles to say this to you, because I'm living it. I am living it every day. Your humanity is loved by God. Your humanity, your human side is loved by God. But that love of God, that image of God, lives within you. And the reason why you keep doing this unhealthy things, the reason why you keep going to that person that doesn't love you, doesn't care for you, uses you, are you using someone constantly? Are you cheating on this? Are you being not a great parent? Are all these things? The reason why, that's the human side of life. The reason why that's all happening is because you're not crying out to God and you're not tapping into the divinity of God that lives within you. The divinity of God lives within you. You are God's creation. You are not a mistake. You are not a mistake. You are not a failure. You are made in the image of God. So in the wrestling of these scriptures and what God is doing, I've had a lot of wrestling in the last several weeks, last several months of my life. Life was good here for me. As a church, we went through some hard times. Some of you remember those hard times? You know, I was sitting with a pastor in Atlanta, and I told him some of the hard times we've gone through as a community of faith. And he goes, "Oh, just one hard time?" I was like, "Wow." I'm like, "Okay, I should resign now. All right, I'm out and go sell insurance." We hung in there and we found our place again. Amen. We hung in there and we found our place. And the elders, oh man, those elder meetings. Oh Lord. I think if we can look back at them, if they were recorded, we would all get together and burn them. We would just not ever want, they were tough times. Oh, so tough. But we persevered. We cried out. We cried out literally, my God, we know you called us. We know you called us. What have we done wrong? And God showed us some things that we've done wrong. God showed me some things that I've done wrong. And your pastor and your board of elders went to work. And then we had a revival. I don't use that lightly. I do not use that lightly. We had a move of God. We had a move of God. It was because we were just so stripped of our humanity, and all we could do is lean on the divinity, and it was beautiful. It's beautiful. Amen. And then God is sitting on the edge of my bed one night. I can't stand when he does that, or she does that. Holy Spirit, when she sits on the edge of my bed, and she, I always refer to the Holy Spirit as she, and she says, "Rich, how you doing?" "Well, I'm great. Things are good. Church is healthy. We're growing again. Got good finances." Oh, that's always a good sign for pastors. It really is. When you don't lose sleep about finances, you're getting paid, and you're doing mission, and you're doing outreach, and money's good, and people are happy. Woo! I like it! And I'm just like, "What are you doing on the edge of my bed?" We've got to grow this. We've got to grow it. Oh, there's 900 churches in Charlotte. 900 churches. I know. I put that seed in your heart 8 years ago. Go do it. No, it's good here. I like it here. The church knows my favorite wine. They know my favorite pastel colors in my sweaters. I mean, I like it here. I finally got the air conditioning fixed in this freaking building. Are you kidding me? You remember I used to just drench and sweat up here? Probably still will. And the Holy Spirit said, "Nope. No, you will not be happy in the long run. But more importantly, this church will not be seated and not placed in her full purpose, her full potential of what I want to do. Wow. Like, oh. So I go to the Board of Elders, and they immediately say, no. Not happening. And we met, and we met, and we met, and, you know, it's you know, when someone says this, especially in a dating relationship, you ever been dating a Christian, and they say, they're trying to get through it, and you go, well, God actually told me we need to break up. You ever heard that? Where do you go from there? You don't go anywhere. You're like, okay, there's your toothbrush. Ah, it's over. Bye-bye. If God told you, I wish he would have told me. But hey, if you're at a place that God is speaking to you on that, call me up about the taxes too. But anyway, but you know what I mean? Whew. And I literally, I don't say this a lot, but I had to say to these people who love you, who are your shepherds, who were so concerned about what would happen, just got out of some turbulent times, difficult times. Things were good. People were happy. And then knucklehead comes to the board meeting, says, we got to grow. We got to plant. We got to do this. And I got to move to sweaty Charlotte for, right? And I had to say it. God told me. And I'm going to go. I got to do this. They're like, okay, well, you know, where do we go with there? I mean, you know, what do we do from there? You know? I did not know what was going to happen next. I, you know, went to Charlotte. Some of you are new here. You're like, who is this guy? This is my plaid. I did not know what was going to happen in Charlotte, and it, I'll tell you guys, I love some of you visit. Nancy's been there. Others of you have been there. You go there, and it feels just like this, doesn't it, Nancy? It feels just like this. It's full of love. You know, when you first walked in here and you saw that sign, it says, welcome home. And whoa, that's a big statement. How do they know what I want home to be like, right? And you walk in here, and the Holy Spirit, she wraps herself around you, and she says, welcome home. There's no judgment here. There's no judgment. There's no hate. They're not going to bait and switch you, or switch and bait, whatever that saying is. They're not going to do any of that to you. You're going to be loved. You're going to be loved on. You don't even have to believe. You can just belong. Hello? And I am just now getting to where people can trust us in Charlotte and say, just belong. You are loved. And you walk in there, that old, old Methodist church, and you feel the love of you. You feel the love of you. You have kept me going. You. You have kept me going in those really dark humanity nights. What am I doing here, God? What am I doing here? My God, my God. It's lame here sometimes, right? Charlotte's beautiful. Charlotte's beautiful. I'm just going to be real with you. You're my family. In case you don't know, I'm gay. And I know Eric outed me last week. Eric, you outed me last week. Oh, that's horrible news. I'm gay. I was just reminded how gay I am today. I was driving into the church, and I saw this good-looking young man looking at me and kind of looking at me, giving the eye. I'm like, oh, wow, hey, cool. He's in his car. I'm in my car. And he's coming toward me, giving the eye. And I'm like, oh, cool. And then he gets close, and it's Dustin. I'm like, checking out Dustin. I'm like, that's Dustin. I knew Dustin when he was a homeless kid out in OB. Homeless. Right? Homeless kid in OB. Now he just bought his first car. Yep. I was reminded how gay I am and how I like younger men. It's just not. And there in Charlotte, the gay scene is not a good community. It's not a healthy community. And I strive, because of all the work that I've done in my life, the last several years, I strive to be very healthy now. You know? And it's not healthy there, and I'm not connected, and it's tough for me, because I can't, it's a struggle. But God is moving us forward. God is a God of new days. God is a God of new beginnings. And this movement must move forward. So I've been wrestling a lot. I've been wrestling with what's next? What's next? And I love this table. What's next is this. I've wrestled with it. My humanity side has wrestled with this. What's next is that this movement must continue. And for this to happen, I am to become the lead pastor of the movement of Mission Gathering. How do I know this to be certain? Because Seattle just gave this movement, not this church, so Carmen, calm down, $650,000 to plan our next Mission Gathering. I'm like, I am like, they're sitting there, they're about to do this vote. I'm like, don't vote this, do not, oh God, please, I want this to happen, but then I don't. At that meeting, the humanity and the divinity was wrestling, because I knew if they made that vote, I would be really busy. So I'm saying this to you, my family, you are my family. I have married some of you. I will probably bury some of you. You have seen me in my good times. I've seen you in your good times. And boys and girls, we've seen each other some hard times. And that's what makes us so beautiful. That's what makes us the church that we are.
That's right.
And I'm telling you, I've seen it in Charlotte, a city of 900 churches. People need this. They need it. And God is calling your pastor to become a movement maker. That's heavy. I don't even like saying that out loud because it sounds weird. You know, I love Bernie. I love my Bernie. But every time I hear movement, you know, build the burn. You knew I was going to get that in somehow, didn't you, Bill? You knew I was going to get to slide that in. Got to get my burn in there. He says, we got a movement. You don't understand, he said to Chris Matthews. You don't understand. You're looking at it in the eyes of here, how it is now. I'm talking about in the big picture. We have to change everything for all to be in, for all people in our country. And a movement of God, and what God is doing through this church, is that we are going to strive to change so many concepts and perceptions of faith and Christianity. We're going to get out there and continue to get out there to say, it's not what you thought. It's actually much, much better.
Amen.
So that's where I'm going. I'm going to eventually come back here. I believe I found the pastor for Charlotte. Lives in Charlotte, him and his wife, they're great people. He has a doctor in divinity. You know, he needs mentorship. I'll bring him out here probably next time I come out here. So that was, I've been wrestling with this, wrestling big time. So I'm like, Lord, I'm not just, you know, what's going to happen in San Diego if I keep planting these churches? I'll come back, but I, you know, I can't preach it once a month or every 6 weeks and say this is the church, right? Can't do that. You need a pastor. You need a pastor. Anyone have a tissue? Thank you. I love you. You need a pastor. And Lord, if you would have said this to me a year ago, I never dreamed. God is so wonderful. God is so good. God has raised up a person right here in our community to take this, to take the day-to-day pastoralship of this church, leadership of this church. And that's Eric Lovett. It's beautiful. But God had to do a lot of work. A lot of work in both of us for that to happen. Woo!
Amen.
It wasn't perfect. No. We are like the most different people you will ever hang out with. You think I'm high energy. This guy, I don't know what he takes in the morning, but he doesn't stop. I'm exhausted 30 minutes with him. And he's done such an amazing job with Urban Street Angels. And we kept wrestling as a board, like as a board of elders. We see this happening. Rich, you see this happening. I'm like, I know the Holy Spirit's on the edge of my bed. I know. And then it just we looked around. And Eric? And he's like, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. Right? I need time. I need time. So we said, all right, go take your time. Go pray. Go wrestle with God. Do a Jacob. I always say, do a Jacob. Go wrestle with God. You're going to walk away with a hip. I'm going to walk away with a limp. You wrestle with God. God takes things that you once trusted in, right? Metaphorically, you just have a limp. Like, oh, now I got to trust completely in God. And he went. He was wrestling with God. I was wrestling with God. And we came back. And he said to the board of elders, I know God has called me to this. I know God has called me to this. Rich, let's grow this movement. What God is doing in Charlotte, soon to be Seattle, and now, here we go. I always have a new one for you, don't I? Minneapolis, what God is doing. I couldn't have planned this. I could not have planned it. And I'm thinking, I have this, you know, I'll figure it all out, and I'll tell you, a year ago, we would have never agreed to this. But God has brought Eric and I to a place that we are going to lead this movement together, and he will be faithful to the day-to-day and pastor you and take you to places that God wants you to go. Now, I know what's going on here is making some of you feel a little uncomfortable. I got to talk. I got to be dad sometimes. Hello? You're struggling. You got these homeless people up in the house like this. So comfortable when you got in a van. Got in a van and fed a homeless person. That's beautiful. Right? That's beautiful. We did that for years. Now this crazy man brings the crew here. What you thinking? Thinking the gospel. Right? I was meeting with a bunch of young pastors last couple of weeks. And I said, you've never been to church until you sat next to a homeless person, a gay person, a person, a transgender, a black person, a white person. You've never been in a true expression of the gospel until in one building all of that takes place. And I promise you, that happens here and happens in your sister church every single Sunday. That's the future of the church. Logistically speaking, I'm moving into a role that we feel is fitting the movement, the lead pastor of the movement of Mission Gathering. I still sit on the board of elders. I'm still very involved as much as I can be as I'm out there doing those things for you. But this is the home. This is the home. And things that we're learning here, I'm taking to our denominational office. I'm speaking 2 weeks in our denominational office about all that's going on here. This is the future of the church. It's not, you know, it's not just about people coming together on Sundays. It was a huge part of it. This gathering together, worshiping, challenging, growing, is a huge part of what we are meant to be. It started 2,000 years ago, and we should stay with it. Okay? Okay? Amen? But the church, just like we have in Charlotte, should always be about a cause, a purpose. And for this church, it has been for years and will continue to be even more so now, because this crazy man, and I love him, is taking you to some places that is going to get a very, well, not just a little, it's going to get uncomfortable. And you're going to be tempted. You're going to be tempted to go where it's comfortable. Because why? Because we're human. We're human. Oh, man, I don't want to deal with a dog. Big old dog. Dog took a piss. Did you know that? Dog used a restroom in the church. Where else are you going to use a restroom? Got to go. Holy pee now. Where else is the dog going to go? Is there a dog? I hear a dog. We will work through those logistical things. Big dogs will be VIP upstairs. Right? That's okay. We got Sandy Peters with her little dog she travels around the world with. Little dogs can stay here. Big dogs, VIP. No kids are scared. Just giving you some logistical stuff here. I hear your complaining. I know your murmurs. I get it. I can be your Moses sometimes. I hear you. Right? But I'm encouraging you to tap into your divinity and see the kingdom of God at work here. Yeah. It is at work here. Amen. Nick, will you go and grab the hand soap before I do communion? I've been wiping snot all over my face and I told you weren't getting out here on time. Well, it's only 11:30. I preached two here before. Come on up here. I want us to do something. I want our, and I'm honored to be able to do this. I'm honored to be able to do this. I want us to come together as the elders of the church, and this is an ancient tradition, an ancient practice, that when a new pastor comes in to take the responsibilities, Paul would do this. Paul would start churches, and he would say, I got to go. I don't want to go. You guys know my wine. You know my sweaters. You know all these things about me. I'll be back. I'll be back. He wouldn't say through Facebook or through airplanes. He'd say, I'll be back. And it'd take me 3 years to get back here. It takes me 3 hours, okay? I'll be back. But here is the pastor of this community. And they would come around, the elders of the church would come around, and they would lay hands on their pastor. And they would pray over him or her. Yes, it was a her too. Right, Nancy? They've changed names. Can you believe it? Really? I know. It's not infallible. Sorry. Humanity. But the scriptures have divinity all over it. All right, stop, Rich. All right. And so they would bring up their pastors and they would pray. And that's what we get to do today. Eric, I'm going to have you do this, brother. I'm going to have you come up here. I know this is freaky a little bit. I'm going to have you kneel here. I'm going to have you kneel, because that's what the early church did. The new elder, the new pastor would kneel. I want my board of elders, if you come up, please. Come on up. Come on up. Gather yourself around him. And then I want anyone else who wants to jump here. Lavelle, I know you're about to hop out of your seat. Get up here, brother. Nancy, come on up. One of our pastors here, one of the leaders in our denomination. Come on up here. Lenny, anyone else wants to come up here? You know Eric. You love Eric. You've worked with Eric. You're welcome to come up here. Gather around our brother. This is a very holy moment, a very sacred moment of a church. Gracious, loving God, we present to you your servant, Eric Lovett, who has wrestled with you as I have. You've called him to this community. You've called him to this community to lead as their pastor, as our pastor, the lead pastor here. We ask that you place your hand upon his work, his service, and his life. We ask a protection around him, that you guide him with your Holy Spirit, that you direct him, that you fill him full of vision to what this church can be, how much more this church can be and will be here in the city of San Diego. And we, in the name of Jesus, stand against the darkness. We stand against darkness of doubt and fear and hurt and pain, things that tells him he cannot pastor. In the name of Jesus, we ask that you would remove that and give him peace right now. Peace. We anoint him for this calling, for this service unto you. It is in the name of Jesus we pray, and everyone said, amen and amen.
Likewise, Rich has taken a new role that he's been living into for the last year now. It's been in his heart for as long as I've known him, been a part of Mission Gathering. And I'm thankful that he yielded to the call. But I know it's tough. I know it's scary. But I also know that God is with you. And he's going to honor that struggle. So likewise, I'd like the elders to come back up.
I'll stand here.
We're going to do it all over again. But we want to pray for Rich.
Yeah, let's do it.
I'm going to pray for Rich as he tackles God's next season in his life. Holy Spirit, holy, holy Spirit, we present to you your servant, Richard McCullen. His heart given fully over to you, accepting and understanding your call for him. He accepts. And we as his church release him now to move forward in your vision, not just for him, but for all of the regions you've called him to reach, Father. God, we pray for strength, wisdom. We pray that your love would surround him and keep him. And on those nights where he's lonely, Father, be his company. Be his strength. Be the reminder. We thank you for his sacrifice. We thank you for his heart. And as you go with him, we go with him, Father. We send him with love and support. We extol him, Father. We lift him up unto you. And we'll keep him in our hearts and our prayers, Father. We'll go before him and protect him with our words of prayer. For we love him. He's been so faithful. He's endured so much here, God. And we thank you for what you're doing. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Remember when we first started mission, it was a bunch of crazy high schoolers and a few elderly people, and it was a table like this. You wonder where I got this from. It was a table like this, Methodist Church in Rancho Bernardo. And I remember standing up there, one of the first gatherings, and lifting up the bread and watching eyes follow this. And saying, this is the body of God. Broken. And now, years later, in San Diego, in Charlotte, soon to be Seattle, this is the body and the love of God poured out for all of humanity. For all of humanity. Would my communion servers please head up? is the wine, I believe, yes. This is the wine. So I get to be your movement pastor, which hopefully when I come back and visit about every 5 or 6 weeks, and when I move back here, I'll really challenge you to always be moving. Okay? But under this guy, you will never sit still. But I want to make it personal right now. A lot of you are like, what's going on? You know, what's happening? God is showing love to you. God loves you. 4 years ago, a man walked in this church, broken, hurting, like so many of you. It was Terry. 4 years ago today, for his 4-year anniversary today, and God has changed his life. This community has walked with him through some very difficult times. That's what the church is all about, right? That's what it's about. I know you have really bad experiences, some of you in churches. You're going to get ruffled up here sometimes, but you will always be loved here. You are loved. That is the message here. You are loved. Well, you don't know where I've been, Rich, but God does. You don't know where I've slept. God cleans those sheets. You don't know what I've taken. God cleans systems. You don't know who I've used. God restores. You don't know how much I've been used. God restores. That's the God that this movement is all about. And I know some of you this morning, you need to be restored. You need to be restored. You need to just accept that you are made in the image of God. I promise you, I was in this thing for years. For years, I did this thing called ministry. And I did not love myself. I did not love the God creation. I did not love the image of God. I did not love what God was doing here. And I started to tap into that. In spite of what other people said, or in spite of whatever, in spite of those voices of the past, I started owning the fact I am loved. I got to work, and God will give me the strength, but I am loved. I am loved. It doesn't matter how much money you have or no money at all. It doesn't matter what you wear, what you don't wear. You are loved. And this morning, this table takes us back to the first gathering around a table where Jesus said, come unto me. Don't leave yet, Judas. I know what you're about to do. I know you live a religious fantasy. I know you think you're doing the right thing. I know you're going to slip into the dark, but come here, sit with me, and let me wash your feet and serve you. That's what he said to Judas. This table is for all of us. What God wants to do for you this morning is for you. God wants to touch you, wants to restore you, wants you to be loved. I want you to take your time. Sunday, fun day, brunch, whatever, it can all wait. God is doing something in your life. Take it. Take this moment. Allow the Holy Spirit to speak and love you this morning. So you take the bread, the body of Christ broken, and the love of Christ poured out. When you hold that bread, I want you to just say this simple prayer. Let me know how loved I am. That's all you gotta say. Let me experience how loved I am, that the cross would be this real. Let me know how loved I am, that this community is this real. You are here with me right now. Come when you're ready. God has been ready. Amen.